This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. I Don't Do Boxes is a magazine based in Greensboro that features the narratives of LGBTQ youth living in the American South. Each issue includes stories, photographs, and other artwork by young folks that explore what it means to identify as queer. The magazine is put together by Queer Lab, a media project that fosters dialogue and storytelling around LGBTQ identities. Joining me now are some folks with Queer Lab and the I Don't Do Boxes team. Nandi Smith is the education coordinator for Queer Lab. Welcome, Nandi. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Guido Villalba-Portel has worked with Queer Lab and is currently communications curator at Elsewhere Museum, which serves as a workspace for Queer Lab. Guido, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Also, Colleen Gunderson, an editor with I Don't Do Boxes, and she has contributed to the magazine. Colleen, welcome. Good to have you as well.
Hi, thank
you. Guido, tell us more about the history of Queer Lab and the I Don't Do Boxes project.
Yeah, so Queer Lab actually started in 2012. It began, essentially the founder was Christopher Kennedy, who was the education curator at Elsewhere at the time. And in 2012, what Christopher really saw was just a lack of programming in Greensboro specifically that kind of bridged the gap of art and community building within queer communities.
And so what does that mean physically and on the ground? How does that express itself? And what does having Queer Lab open and have Elsewhere participate, what does that actually mean for programming?
Yeah, so Queer Lab is, like you just said earlier, a youth-led media program that develops dialogue around LGBTQ plus experiences, issues, while also creating a safe space for queer culture. So essentially during a 3-month window, we pick a theme. And based around that theme, we host community-based workshops that are media-based. And that's very loosely defined. It could be a social media workshop or a podcast-making workshop, but it could also be a workshop on theater or movement and dance and how to express identity through that.
Well, Nandi, as education coordinator for Queer Lab, you put those workshops together. Tell us more about what happens at the workshops and what the goals are.
The goals of the workshop are to make interventions and make us rethink how we understand queerness. And so two of the main workshops were from queer and trans people, queer and trans people of color. One of the first workshops were with Eliza May of the Greensboro Mural Project, and they're an indigenous muralist here based in Greensboro, and unpacking who are the ancestors that have helped LGBTQ plus folks get here to this point that we are now, but also like unpacking how do we understand ancestor and what does it mean to be an ancestor. And so digging deeply about how we're honoring the folks whose histories we're continuing. And then another workshop was with Ash Williams, who's also a performer and an organizer, and Black organizer with Sister Song. And they came in to unpack what does it mean to be an artist and different type of artist mediums, how that relates to the work that we're doing with I Don't Do Boxes and the forms of media that we're creating and bringing together in the scene.
Obviously, having a space where everybody can gather is important, and the arts, as you point out, play a critical role in this. As a workshop participant, am I then making art, or am I listening to people talk about art? In what way do I engage with art?
So in all of the workshops, participants create art. During the workshop around queer ancestors with Eliza May, the participants answered a series of questions relating to who are people that they understand as ancestors, how do you define ancestor, and what type of ancestor do they want to be. It's a part of a larger project that the Greensboro Mural Project is doing.
Colleen, tell us how you got involved with Queer Lab and I Don't Do Boxes.
During the end of my junior year, I believe it was, Guido actually visited the Gay Straight Alliance Club at my school along with one of the other editors, and they told us about the zine, and I thought that I wanted to get involved in it since I'm really passionate about writing and art and everything like that myself, and I am a bisexual female also, so I would probably fit in well with that. And I started my senior year, and I've been doing it since. I've mostly been involved in communications and spreading the word about the zine in some ways.
But you've done some writing as well, and you brought some with you, right?
I have, yes.
But would you read for us? And if you have to set it up, would you do that too?
Okay. This is a snippet of a short story that I submitted during my senior year, anonymously. In March during that year, I decided to take one of my friends, Chloe, to the very same semi-formal that I had asked Rose to the year prior. Rose had since moved. Chloe went to my school during my sophomore year, but transferred to a performing arts school for our junior year. She had wanted to go to the dance the year before, but she wasn't able to. She was also having boy trouble at the time, and I figured she could use some girl time. My friend Tess was there as well, with her boyfriend at the time. Tess must have seen Chloe and me together and thought, are they dating? She asked a mutual friend if that was the case. I assumed Tess had asked our friend without giving my specific sexuality away. This friend asked Chloe, who explained to her that we weren't dating and that she was straight. Chloe and our friend must have thought this was funny, and in hindsight it actually was. Truth be told, I suspected that people might think that we were dating, but I didn't care. Chloe and I were both tired from dancing, so we decided to step outside. I took the opportunity to come out to her. I assured her that I was still the same person I always was, and I told her that I was bisexual. Chloe ended up being completely accepting about it. I tried to come out to her before, but she was more religious at the time, and I held myself back. She had since converted from Mormon to agnostic, and she was much more open-minded about it. As time passes, I'm taking my time telling people about who I am. The bubble is slowly getting bigger as I'm becoming more and more comfortable with myself. More people in my life know about me by now. Some of my close friends, my family friends, kids in the Gay Straight Alliance, and a handful of girls on my lacrosse team. They were all okay with me, and I'm taking opportunities to break out of my shell if and when I can. Eventually, there won't be any more bubble, just my own space.
That's Colleen Gunderson reading her piece from the Greensboro-based magazine I Don't Do Boxes, and she joins me along with Queer Lab educator and curator Nandi Smith and Elsewhere Museum Communications Coordinator Guido Villalba-Portel. Guido, tell us about, let me ask you, Colleen, I'm going to stay with you for a minute. What's the importance of this collective for you and being with and as part of the I Don't Do Boxes project? Would you have written that anyway, and what's been the impact on you working with I Don't Do Boxes?
I just sort of came out to my parents during my sophomore year, and it took a really long time for me to sort of get more comfortable with myself. And the theme of I Don't Do Boxes last year was outer space, and we were focusing on the space part, meaning that we were trying to create safe space for queer individuals. And I think being in an environment with people that were kind of in the same situations as me made me more comfortable with sharing things about myself.
Guido, let me ask you more about that in terms of your experience in watching this unfold in its various iterations and places since 2012. What has been the value, and what is the value of having this shared space? Because, I can sit and write in my garret and write about these things. What's the value of bringing everybody together?
Sure. I think... First and foremost, we live in a society where we feel undervalued. You turn on the TV, you see a lot of things that are telling us we're not thin enough, we're not light-skinned enough, we're not smart enough, we're not funny enough. So to invest in that is one thing. And then also, if you take a look at, just statistics, we know that there is a genocide going on against trans women of color. If you look at homeless youth population statistics, we know that the majority of homeless youth are actually queer identifying. So it's really radical to host space and hold space for queer youth, the future of queer culture, to come together and essentially just build community. Just get together, sit around a table, talk about our issues, but also get to laugh and tell jokes and stories about school.
Nandi, what are the dynamics that you see, and maybe some of the changes that you see, if there are any, for workshop participants in particular? As people get together and they're sharing this work, they're starting to participate in the art, do you see any transformations take place? What's the dynamic in the group that might not have been there had you not hosted this event, this workshop?
I think what Guido just mentioned about the community being built, I definitely see more deeper and intentional community being built amongst folks who usually aren't in space together. I think also just deconstructing the ways that we understand different terms. In particular, outlaw and how we might label a negative connotation to outlaw, but an outlaw being someone who doesn't conform to the norms, and understanding like what that means and how outlaw can be applied to everyone here in this room.
Now that's the theme for this year's I Don't Do Boxes, right? Outlaw. Well, tell us more about that theme and how it evolved. And again, you know, we think about our last conversation about character, and you know, it was Hamlet who said, there is a custom that does more honor in the breach. Meaning you would be better to break that rule if you really want to be virtuous than to honor that rule. Jim Crow is the perfect example, but others. Tell us about outlaw and what that means and why you would want to identify that and choose it as a theme. Where'd that come from?
So I'm going to step in. Yeah, I think, you know, you look at history. You mentioned, you know, Jim Crow. I think that, you know, a pivotal point in American history that most people don't even know about are the Stonewall riots that happened on June 29th, 1969, where, you know, there were police raids into an LGBTQ+ inn in New York City, and most of them were poor folk, were people of color, and they were getting put in jail simply for, you know, sharing space and being queer together. Well, you know, two of our ancestors, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, they said, when the police busted in, they said no, and they actually resisted to that physically. So I think, you know, it stems from that. It stems also from a lot of the history and being told that our identities are wrong and they're unlawful.
I think about pushback against HB2. Again, this was a law, and, you know, people stood up and said, well, in this particular case, we don't like the law. The law had to change. What about the how have things changed for the group and in terms of its growth over the period that it's been together? Queer Lab, you say, goes back to 2012, right?
Yeah, so it shifted a lot, and it's really hard and challenging to build with queer youth simply for the fact that they may not be out, or their parents may not know, or their schoolmates not know, teachers. So not only that is it challenging to build with queer youth, but also with schools. So the numbers fluctuate a lot of times. Some years we have a huge percentage that are of participants that come from Guilford County Schools. Other years it's more freshmen and sophomores from UNCG and A&T. So it kind of fluctuates within that. But I think that each year the magazine gets stronger and stronger. Visually, content-wise. So yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
Are you building alliances with other similar projects elsewhere, and are you building alliances with them?
Yeah, so we've had, you know, we've collaborated with QPOC, the Queer People of Color Collective, in the past, with Youth Safe, with Chords, like Nandi mentioned, with Greensboro Mural Project, and also right now with Black Lives Matter, Gate City as well.
You've mentioned ancestors a few times. Why is that important? Why is that important to build that kind of history and genealogy? Gandhi?
I think it's important to understand where you came from and what makes up you as a person, but also the conditions that you currently live in, and to be reminded of the ways that we shouldn't repeat history, or that we should be mindful of history to create new and better worlds, and to know that, like, it is our responsibility to continue the work that was started from folks who want to change and shift the world so everyone can coexist and live and be their fullest self.
I would guess that a few folks didn't even realize that they were part of that genealogy, that was in fact, that those individuals, that their exploits, that their heroism was in fact part of your story. I would think that might have a transformative effect. Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, even looking back at my first experience with the program and coming into it, not knowing about Elsewhere, not knowing about Queer Lab, and just showing up one day to an editorial meeting and seeing folks that were older than me, you know, shining in their queerness and brilliance, and just seeing that is so transformative, you know, sharing in that love and that space, and seeing that, you know, even though I do sit further on the margins, being queer, non-binary, and undocumented, that, you know, you can survive and thrive.
I want to thank all of my guests today, Nandi Smith, Guido Villalba-Portel, and Colleen Gunderson. Nandi is the education coordinator for Queer Lab. Guido is the communications curator for Elsewhere Museum. Colleen is the editor and a contributor for I Don't Do Boxes. Thank you all for being on this program.
Thank you for having us.
The I Don't Do Boxes team hosts a launch party for their upcoming issue this Friday at Elsewhere Museum in Greensboro. And, of course, you can find out more about our show at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton-Ormond, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director with help from Al Wadarski today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Once again, Anne Claire Niver. By the way, before Anne, before you start, I just want to point out that Anne has a Kickstarter going on right now to help her fund her upcoming album, and she performs tomorrow evening at Double Oaks Bed and Breakfast in Greensboro. Anne Claire.
Took you, you mistook me for a girl, knew what she deserved. And it rained so much that summer, we were always soaking wet. And I wondered if mosquitoes know how hot my blood can get. Know how hot my blood can get. Second month you got down on one knee. You said, baby, I got something to show. Before it ends.